District Regular Board Meeting to order. We note the time, it is 7:08 PM. And Lisa, if you would please call the roll.
Commissioner Brooks? Commissioner Lerman? Commissioner Underdunk?
Here.
Commissioner Platnick? Absent. President Gaines?
Here. Our first item of business this evening is to approve the consent agenda items as has been presented in our board packets. I would like to entertain a motion to approve these consent agenda items as presented. I would entertain a motion. Thank you.
Dudley?
Second. Thank you.
Lisa, second.
Is there any discussion on or requests pertaining to any of the consent agenda items? Or can they be approved as presented?
Since I was absent, it would be difficult for me to second the motion to adjourn. So if you could make the motion to adjourn on the special projects meeting of April 13th, it wasn't me, because I wasn't there.
Okay, staff will research that and make
whoever
that correction.
Whoever it is.
We'll make that change.
Somebody besides me, thank you.
Okay, great. Other than that specific change, the motion has been made, and I'd like to hear a roll call vote to approve the minutes as presented.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Lerman?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Commissioner Platnick? Nope. President Gaines?
Yes. Next up would be matters from the public. Okay, nothing at this time, thank you. And now we have the recognition of a retiring commissioner. Lisa, we have some documents here that
we do
want to present.
Is there any other former commissioners? Nope. Okay, so Bob Kimball sent an email. He's on away on business, but he wanted to make sure he said a few words. So Steve said,
so with Bob's permission, Andre, I'd like to read a statement that Bob Kimball prepared. Andre, I'm sorry that I had to miss your final park board meeting. You can be proud of the accomplishments of the Park District during your 6 years of service. You came to the board a tireless activist for the beach, but quickly embraced the rest of the Park District as well. The improvement at the parks and at the Tactic Center over the past 8 years have been breathtaking. You played a big part in that. People don't realize the time commitment asked of commissioners. It's far more than just attending meetings. A good commissioner spends hours doing his research, visiting facilities, talking with his fellow residents and neighbors. This is all to serve the public, to honor our traditions while moving beyond them to embrace new opportunities for Glencoe. You never shirked your responsibility as commissioner. You put in the time again and again to understand issues, to work constructively with your fellow commissioners, and to protect the Park District's interests. I valued our conversations when I was president of the board. You were thoughtful and willing to share your opinions and certainly willing to listen to mine. On a personal basis, I love sharing opinions on the latest classical concert at Ravinia or talking about jazz concerts in New York. I look forward to continuing our talks in the future. Andre, enjoy tonight. You've earned the praise. Now enjoy your retirement, knowing that the Park District is better for your service. The village is a bit nicer because of the things we've all collectively done. Congratulations. That was from Bob. And I would follow that up. And I would follow that up and certainly echo the sentiments that Bob Kimbley so ably wrote out, that it has been a nice additional chapter in the 25 years that we've known each other here in Glencoe, to work with you on the committees, to work with you on the board, and to see the phenomenal professional growth of the staff that we now get to call our friends after the work that we've done together. So thank you very much for being a wonderful colleague, and all the best in the future.
If you just want to go down the line with other commissioners. Dudley?
Lisa? Dudley?
I have a few things I'd like to say. Andre, you've served as a terrific mentor for me. Your concerns about transparency, your approach to problem solving has been very helpful. Your approach toward data-driven solutions has been very helpful to us, helping us learn that we need to take time to make decisions. Your concern about both the process and the product And then also, you've helped us move, I think, from good to great. It gives us a chance to recognize staff and the chance that we have of becoming, is it a gold, national gold
medalist,
recognized community, which is would be a great honor. And then you've also taught me that a committee meeting can be fun, especially on the beach.
I love it.
There once was a commissioner named Lerman whose comments sounded like a sermon. Then came the day he just sailed away. And left us with all of his learning.
Hilarious.
Oh, we did. We learned a lot.
Lisa?
I'm all right. So, obviously, everyone said, I've thought about Bobby. He's been actually a very good mentor for me because he encouraged me not to back down if I felt like maybe this just isn't polite and I should. And he engaged in a lot of what people don't realize what the commissioners do outside is we have one-on-one, just two people, discussions and debates about things to try to use our critical thinking to ferret out the right decisions for a lot of issues. And when we're handling people's money and we're changing their space, it is really important. And I have to say that your reverence and your sense of humor and your ability to question authority and the status quo has been greatly appreciated by me. I've enjoyed every minute. I'm going to miss you terribly, mostly because you make me laugh really hard about the absurdity of life and the absurdity of being on a board like this. I know you've acted a bit of a lifeblood at times because you don't take things personally. It doesn't matter much to you. You say what you think is right. And that's probably been vexing as all that up to the staff, and the staff, of course, has handled it always very professionally and has also not taken things personally and has, proven to us again that they can take it. So I've appreciated you and Robert's rules, and I actually think you could be useful in the federal government now, trying to keep people in check and following the rules and all the rest of it. So we're trying to really miss that aspect of your presence, but I personally am just going to miss you as a friend and a coworker. So off you go, sail off into the sunset. You brought the Park District into a safe harbor. I really believe your tenure in the leadership have really been formative for Park District. So congratulations and thank you, and I will see you again.
Thank you.
And at this time, we could ask audience members, starting with anyone from the caucus. Have anyone here from the caucus that would like to say something to Andre, and I don't see any other caucus members here. Anyone from the audience? We would certainly like to hear your comments or contributions. And if not, I know Lisa has something that she would like to say.
I do. I'm going to get up and bring this over to Andre.
Andre? You've been fun and a challenge at times, I say that way. But we always end up letting it end of it and agree to disagree and agree to agree most of the time. So, in recognition of Andre Lerman for his distinguished service, outstanding leadership, and significant contributions to the Glenville Park District and the community of Glenville, his commissioner from 2011 to 2017, and the Lakefront Advisory Group Chairman, which I know you're very proud of, did great things from 2011 to 2017. Thank you very much for your service. I appreciate it. From Glenville. You can choose a bench in the park of your choosing, or if it's a picnic table down by the one club that is up there too. Just let us know where you would like that, and we'll put your little plaque on there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
do you want to do what's he saying? Okay. Now you do the resolution. Yeah. Oh, you want to speak? I'm sorry.
Yeah. By all means.
Yeah, so I'm Mark Schneider from the Village Nominating Committee, and I just wanted to say I admire Andre and his contribution and some big challenges he took on, as Lisa said, his persistence. And I would hope that he would consider running for the Village Nominating Committee and bring his experience from here to the village in general and help select candidates for the Park District and the library and the village board. So yeah. I hope you'll consider that. Thank you very much. Thanks for your service.
All right.
I'm going to read the resolution, which is here. So, Andre, I would like to read resolution number 869. You have been part of many of these in the past, and it really is a treat to read this and you hope that you take it to heart. Glenville Park District, resolution number 869, honoring the commissioner service of Andre Lerman. Whereas Andre Lerman has completed 6 years of exemplary voluntary service as an elected park commissioner from 2011 through 2017, Glencoe Beach and Lakefront Advisory Group chairman from 2011 to 2017, and Park District liaison on the Glencoe Planning Commission from 2011 through 2016, whereas in realization of his consistent commitment of time, energy, and expertise to the betterment of services and facilities of the district, and whereas as steward of the community, he has exhibited strong support for the benefits of transparency and protected the beach as a gem of Glencoe. Whereas through his term, he demonstrated leadership during a challenging period of changes in management, park renovation, and facility improvements, resulting in beautiful and safe recreational areas and technological improvements contributing to a more efficiently run park district. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the park district, recognize the meritorious service of Andre Lerman and record it in the permanent record of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage. Adopted this 16th day of May 2017 and approved by Lisa, you actually voted on this yourself, Dudley, myself, and of course Seth was not here.
Once you vote on it.
So good.
Can you turn this way?
Well, we're
sorry, the light's weird.
We just have to take official vote on that now.
Yes.
We have to take a...
Okay, now I think actually we take the official vote. So I entertain a motion to approve the Commissioner Service Resolution Number 869 for Andre Lerman, as just read and presented.
So moved.
Thank you. And I think the votes are aye from all.
Yep. All in favor?
Thank you. Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. At this time, we would entertain comments from Andre, from the man himself.
Yes, we would.
Well, thank you so much.
I think a couple.
And this is limited to 3 minutes, as we limit.
I'll wake you up when it's over.
Okay.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. I very much appreciate the time on the park board. I appreciate the ability to provide service to the community. You know, I think back, the journey. It's been a long and winding road, as Carol knows, because she and I are the folks back. You know, to go back to the Wayback Machine, I'll just keep this real brief, but, you know, I got involved in this park board, not in a goofy way, because our kids worked at the beach and experienced some bullying by some other staff members at the beach, and it went on for a while,
and we try to kind of like sweep it under the rug, don't worry about it, but it got to a head after about a couple of years, and we brought it to the attention of the director of recreation at the time and also the executive director, and the stunning thing was they were aware of it, they condoned it, they enabled it, they were complicit in it, and they didn't seem to be bothered by it. And so it was, my wife and I had some difficult times because we were some of the parents who were kind of getting this feedback from the kids, and we said, you know, how could this kind of culture be so wrong if this stuff gets out there? And we thought that the only real oversight that we had as citizens was who we elected as commissioners. And, you know, the commissioners individually were wonderful people, the people and staff were wonderful people, but for some reason, it seemed to be a bad culture that allowed this to happen. So things escalated, the matter escalated, we've got other people involved, there was some sharp communications, and finally, after about 5 or 6 weeks, most of the bad guys left, which was the right thing to do. But we still kind of shook our heads and said, how did this transpire? What even led to this kind of culture to allow this to happen in the first place? And so, as this was 2006, 2007, and so I kind of paid a little bit of attention to, you know, at some point, this really needs to be fixed. And start to talk to other people, and we heard that at that time, you know, classes were being canceled, the customer service attitudes were not very good. There was an issue with the crossover in the Take-It Center. There was an incident with pension spiking where the board increased the salary of the outgoing executive director across the taxpayers, $350,000. This was the front page of the Chicago Tribune in September 2010. There was a study, there was a survey, a community survey by a public research group that surveyed the community members and said, hey, you know, what's the perception of the Park District Board? And it was not very good. In fact, one of the feedback was that the community felt the board cared more about the staff than it did about the community. And there were a lot of other things wrong, and I don't need to go into that. But it was pretty bad. And it was under that, cloud that I said, I'm going to try to do something about this. And so I raised my hand and put my name in front of the caucus at the time. I interviewed them, and I remember it was a big long table, and all these people asking questions, and I basically was pretty straightforward. I said, you know, I think things are broken, the part that you're going to need to complete change. And so I got a call from Lewis Stingles, the head of the Village Nominating Committee, and said, boy, we like what you said, and, you know, we had two big openings, we had a six-year opening and a two-year opening, and we liked you best, so we're going to give you the six-year opening. And I said, no, wait, well, it's like you best, so we're going to give you the two-year opening. So I thought, how in the heck am I going to do six? Hey, I'll commit to 6 years. That is a long time. That's like being president next year. So I said, well, who did you nominate for the team? I said, Trent Cornell. I didn't know Trent. And so Trent and I started to attend meetings, just like you guys, Stephanie and Josh did. And, you know, I was watching, you know, the dynamics of the commissioners and meetings at the time, and I thought something was a little off. But I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But there was one commissioner who was kind of saying the right things. Her name is Max Rutsky. Max Rutsky would kind of stand up at those meetings and try to kind of shine light on some things and say, hey, we're doing things wrong and we need to change. And there was a lot of personality and there's a lot of vindictiveness, and I just didn't like, you know, the environment. But I thought to myself, you know, hey, this is somebody, I think she's on the right track, and I think I can work with her in this new board. And Trent obviously saw the same thing. And the commissioners got wind of that. And so when we were in an orientation session, which I know you guys had, the executive director, and he said, how do you elect the officers? And he said, well, you know, the outgoing board is going to elect the president, vice president, and then you guys take over. And he said, you know, this is the United States of America. Elections have consequences. That's not going to happen here. That would be a very unwise thing to do. And so they relented. We got sworn in. Which you guys are going to have happen in a minute. And I put Trent Cornell's name for president, a nomination, that's the second, and that's when things started to change. That's when the turnaround started to really happen. And, you know, at first there was a little bit of nervousness in the board, and there was a lot of back and forth and kind of, you know, funny looking expressions and stuff. But really quickly over time, I got to commend that board. This is something the community did not even realize. But all five of us started to work together. You know, you saw that.
And we, you know, after we kind of had the rough start, most of the things that we passed were unanimous, by and large. Most of the things we did, there was a lot of discussion behind the scenes. And there was a lot of, you know, spirit going back and forth. But, you know, we did a lot of things on unanimous basis. Sure, there was a lot of micromanaging that first year, because you had some, you know, folks and staff who were challenged, and things weren't quite going so well, kind of turning around the place. And I probably, and the others, we spent a lot more time than we probably should have. We were kind of doing the job of many of the staff, which is not a good thing to do, and I don't recommend it. But that's where we were at the time. And, you know, after about the first year, we had an opening in executive director ranks. And, you know, the board was talking, so, oh, you know, we can just, you know, we have people internally, let's just put somebody in. I said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, because of what we've been through, we need to go through a national search process. I volunteered to lead that search process, find the very best executive recruiter we could. And we looked at well over 100 people across the entire country. And the board worked together, and we hired Lisa Shepherd back then. And we're very, very, very happy with that. And then working with Bob Kimball, who negotiated, he said, Bob, you know, if there's one thing I can say to you, please don't make sure she doesn't get scared away. You know, this district was kind of in a sensitive state right now, and we really thought that Lisa would be the person to kind of turn around, and I think we were right on target. One of the things we did during that time is we passed a strategic roadmap, which kind of superseded the strategic plan that was in place, because the strategic plan basically said things, so we said, we got to put together kind of a wish list. And it was a big, hairy, audacious wish list about stuff, saying, we're going to do these things. And people said, what do you mean you're going to do these things? How are you going to do these things? And partnership and everything. We're going to do some of these things. So I'm just going to just briefly go through some of these things. You know, performance, a strategic review of the organization structure and staff model, did that, that's done. Comprehensive review of facilities, capacity, equipment, done. Strategic review of vendor and independent contractor agreements, done. Benchmarking on financial salary benefits, mostly done. I have a program to review and manage operational and financial risk. We have a safety committee, and we've made a lot of progress there. Engaged the village to the government meetings to explore options for consolidation of operations. You know, so Trent and I went to the village, and we talked to Scott Feldman over there and Paul Harlow. That's how the Glencoe Quarterly started. That's how some of the shared services, it just happened, because we said, we're going to do this in single city. We've also worked well with the school district. Work with the village and other units to seek solutions to lakes and beach and lakefront. Operationally, we've worked pretty well. I'll get to the water plant in a minute. Develop an outreach program for donors. We're starting to do that, and I look forward to do that after I leave as a volunteer. Create interest-based advisory councils. We created the Lakefront Advisory Watch. That reinvigorated. It would be nice. We've had some other task forces being created over time, so that's good. Develop a district and wide customer service initiative. We got that. This has done a great job. A patron satisfaction vehicle. We have satisfaction vehicles out there. You bet. You know, develop a new park district staff communication model for transparency and accountability. That's one thing I'm most proud of. You know, we at that point we said we're going to post the agendas, we're going to post the board packets, and we're going to report. None of that happened before. And what's really outstanding is as we have these projects that go through phases of approval, staff has put in there for each project and on the website every step along the way. That is phenomenal. That is outstanding, because that allows anybody in the community who's interested in any of these projects, where is it at, and to be involved in them. That is like A-plus with a book, so congratulations there. Enhance the marketing committee's capabilities. You know, Aaron, you've done a phenomenal job with that. I mean, gee whiz, I mean, there's stuff all the time out there, you know, in terms of getting folks, you know, connected and organized. A master plan, done. A plan to help Cape of Southern become the community center and have a fitness center in process. We're working on that. Form a strategic review of beach and lots, done. Evaluate the intergovernmental relationship regarding the use of swimming pools with other governments. We got that in Northbrook. Also got that for tennis with Highland Park and with paddle tennis in Winnetka, done. evaluate options for a dog park in Gardens and Hands. Well, we tried dog park a whole bunch of times. We don't have a place for it. Community Gardens does exist. And Hands Walking Paths. We've got 14 extra steps. It takes
me too. 14 extra
steps.
Doing good.
We'll be running for that tree. Right? Get out there early. ADA compliance plan facilities, done. Review all the preschool programs to develop synergies, done. Coordinate more closely with District 35, done. I mean, what we did with West Playground, phenomenal. And then that started with, it was a conversation with Gary Rudin and myself. And I said, Gary, next time you guys are doing a playground, you're going to talk to me. And let's get you guys involved. So over time we did that. That was great. And then coordinate transportation. You know, the Hillary bus. that thing alone. We came up with that. That was huge because now people can go back and forth from school to here and back. Before it's like, well, how come people aren't signing up? Because they didn't have a way to get there unless their parents had a shuttle. Performer review law operations. To evaluate patron satisfaction. Yeah, we did that in 2011 and 12. We had significant improvements. Our customer service scores are just through the roof. People love the Park District programs, competes with stuff that's a lot more expensive. You're looking at us, you're smiling. It's unbelievable. Work with formal and informal advisory groups to work with them where there's a market demand to create a program. That's something Park District wasn't doing before. Now, every time a program comes up, instead of just like putting a brochure and hoping and praying that people show up, you guys work with the Glencoe Junior High Project, this group or that group, and so by the time a program kind of reaches fruition, there's a community that's going to sign up for this stuff. And so our reject rate of programs get canceled has gone way, way, way down. Because there's a lot of intelligence in terms of how you manage bringing these new programs to fruition, how you work with folks. Great. In-depth analysis of daycare programs, done, you know, financial plan to increase program participation with the goal of increasing program fees as a percentage of park district. That's happened. I mean, you know, Carol, you see this, right, that the percentage of our fees, our total budget that's used for tax versus program's gone up. I mean, that's huge. So, you know, first of all, I want to kind of thank you guys. That is phenomenal, and it's very easy to kind of, forget about that. You know, one thing I think that we want to talk about as well, and one thing I'm very proud of with this board, besides the turnaround, is how steadfast everybody was when we had a presentation by the village about hey, you guys interested in a land swap for a water plant on the beach? And you know, we said, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? And we kind of held our ground. And finally, you know, over time, the park district did this resolution. I just want to read, this is pretty important, because this resolution, I think, in my opinion, was the nail in the coffin that pretty much stopped any kind of water plant from being built. So the Glencoe Park District recognizes the value of the Glencoe Beach's residents and strives to be a good steward of this important lakefront park. It also recognizes an independent unit of local government created with specific purposes under the Illinois Park District Code. While the Park District endeavors to work with sister Glencoe public entities, it understands the paramount responsibilities to preserve and protect the properties under its auspices that be dedicated to community park and recreation services. Bang. You know, the cortisol level was very high in this one, and I had a talk with key commissioners. Don walked the ledge. Some of them wanted to go in front of Starbucks and start getting signatures. I said, no, let's kind of like hold our bullets, and if we feel strongly about this, a resolution would do the trick. And I think it's very important for us as the park district to do what's best in interest of the residents of Glencoe Park District. And the village government, to the extent it needs water climate, that's their decision. And I told the village president that, you know, if you come up with a solution that is going to save the village money, be good, and is not on a beach, and you need help with the referendum, I'll be out there to make sure. I'm happy to do that. So, you know, it is grateful to me that all of you guys, we stood locked down and did what was right for the community. It was a tough thing to do. We were under a lot of pressure, but we did. And all four of us, plus Seth, signed it, so that's good. A couple other things, and I'm going to close. You know, I stirred things up a little bit. I probably didn't make a lot of friends, and that's okay. I didn't join this board to make friends. But the friend, I think my best friend on this board was a guy named Henry Robert III, who wrote Robert's Rules of Order. And you guys have seen, I've brought this so many times at meetings, and my daughter, I highly recommend you guys have a copy and be familiar with it, because this thing has saved a lot of bad things from happening, and I hope that you guys take this in seriously. The other book that I recommend you read is Thinking Fast and Slow, as they talk about. It's okay. Lisa is very impatient. And I told her, I said, you know what? Some other people may know, I love that. I love the fact that you want to get things done. But if you're going to get things done, you're going to work through a process. It's important while you're moving fast to think slow. And all the commissions have to work double hard to think about all the things that could go wrong and all the questions. And not to necessarily challenge the idea, but to be able to kick the tires so that when somebody outside the board or the community asks and is on the other, you know, has some other opinions, you can support it. You can say, I thought about what you said, and here's the answer to it. So those are two books I highly recommend. So I want to, you know, close by just kind of thanking some people, okay? And I first of all want to thank the commissioners who are not here today, but, you know, I know this. So I want to thank Trent for saying yes when we were sitting across the table and saying, you be president, or you be president. He basically was the steady hand that kind of got the turnaround going, and, you know, we worked together. We didn't always agree, but I think he was a good leader of the community. He's on the village board now, and I'm very proud of him when he swore that's on the village board. So I want to thank Trent. I want to thank President Nat Jaretsky, whose name I also put in nomination. And she took the brunt of it, right? She was there when the executive director resigned, when we hired Lisa. She got a lot of animosity thrown her way. But she kind of held in there, and I think the community owes a deep set of gratitude to both Trent and Max for their time as president. I want to thank Bob Kimball, who wrote in. And Bob, you know, I also put his name in. It's interesting. I put his name in nomination. You know, I actually put his name, Seth's name, and Steve's name in nomination. So you guys, when you know, that's 5 out of 6, right? I didn't put really his name in nomination, but that's okay. I wasn't there. But so I hope you guys have figured out who's going to put whose name in nomination when, you know, after today, because I'm not going to be here to bail the board out. I've been in 5 of the last 6 years, so you guys figure that out. But Bob, you know, so Bob, after 2 years of a lot of commotion and a lot of high cortisol, Bob kind of calmed everything down. He was great with it. One of the things Bob did, I think, better than any other president that I served in, was in room 6, is Bob went out of his way to kind of reach out to each and every commissioner on the phone, and he referenced that in his comment, and talk to them, what's going on, what are your concerns, you know, if this came up, how would you vote, you know, more than Trent, more than anything, and I really respect that, and I think, you know, the president's job is to take a whip count, to kind of see where everybody's at, and not just kind of leave it to chance, and so my thought is, that's a best practice, and, you know, in terms of what Bob did, I highly, you know, recommended. He also was the president who kind of stayed firm with the when we got approached by the village, and I appreciate him for that. I want to commend Commissioner and President Hillary Lee. We didn't always agree, but you know, she volunteered. She put in so much time and effort. And what people don't know is that even though sometimes she and I were seen on opposite sides, there were some significant foundational issues where, you know, I had conversations that, you know, if this came to vote, and if it were a divided vote, I would vote with Hillary and Bob. And so, you know, it's okay to kind of, depending on the issue, not take it personally, be able to kind of have different alliances. That's perfectly okay as long as it's not personal. So I commend her for that and for her years of service, and also the fact that she was there with the master plan. Command Seth Palotnik, you know, he had a tough road with Central Park, but you know, he kind of got us through it and landed the plane. And also, you know, he was the president when we had the resolution for the beach, the water plant. And Steve, I want to commend you. You know, you're the person, I've known you the longest of pretty much anybody here. And you know, I've seen grow as a commissioner. I've seen you be open to getting input. I've seen you ask questions. You come up with some great ideas I thought that, and your presentation at the town hall meeting was I thought impeccable. I thought you did an excellent job there. And you know, I think you've become a better listener over time. As a better listener, that makes you a better commissioner. So thank you for your service as well. I'm going to talk to you guys. So start with Dudley. So Dudley, I appreciate the thoughtfulness and ability to kind of know what's urgent and important, and to be able to, like you said, data driven and make decisions. Moving fast, thinking slow, and I think you're going to be a phenomenal leader for this park district. I think you bring an incredible thing to the spirit of the community. You also were a member of the Lakefront Advisory Board, so when I sent out an email saying, hey, we're looking for people to sign up for the park district, that's all. I feel a little responsible. It actually happened for Seth as well, and also for the too. So we have three commissioners up from the Lakefront Advisory Board. So thank you very much. Your service, and I look forward to your leadership. So, Lisa Brooks, so, you've been a sounding board to me when things seem to kind of go sideways. I would probably, I would send you a text or something, say, what the heck is this? And
not a text.
What?
Not a text.
A phone. And I think, and for both of you guys, I think one of the things you talked about earlier when you joined me, this is something you guys. I think you have found your voice. I think at first it was a little tentative. You guys really found your voice around being able to kind of not feel afraid to kind of say, hey, I thought about this. And I'm not criticizing you or making you personal, but I want to speak up. And that's exactly the spirit that you want to have as a commissioner, and it's the level of self-confidence that you've developed. So I think that's one. And then, we had some tough issues, like SLB and the other things. But, and particularly Central Park, you were the voice on the task force that listened to the neighbors the most. And so, because of that, I think the project came to a great conclusion. I talked to the neighbors and the baseball people, they all thought it was phenomenal. But you took a lot of that noise out of that, and I want to thank you very much for doing that, and for me not having to do that. So I appreciate it, and I look forward to your leadership as well. I want to talk to you two guys for a minute. Stephanie, I was talking, I was at the train station talking to Kathy Doyle, and Kathy was saying, she's the treasurer of the library board, and she's trying to recruit people. I said, yeah, Kathy, me too, I'm trying to recruit people for the park board, and I'd really like to get somebody young with young kids. And Stephanie was standing next and said, hey, I'm going to introduce myself, what are you interested in? So we had some conversations, and I said, wow, you did great. I'm so glad you were selected by the caucus. I think you did a wonderful job, and hopefully you get a slot in the rec committee or wherever they put you. I think it's going to be a great thing. And Josh, oh my God, a sailor to have something to do. He was the first thing. You and Marvin Jan and I out this year. You were out last Saturday. You guys probably love sailing even more than I do. But we've had a lot of discussions. Well, gone out to lunch, and your interest in open space planning would be good. I hope you kind of pick up the mantle that we had. Lisa Shepard and I'm Bob Kimball up here, so we're starting a conversation with Karen Thomas and Larry Levin about doing something with that space along the linear parks and connecting through the bike trail through the parking lot and the Hazel Flyover and all that kind of stuff. And I think there's a great opportunity to go back to the village now that the water pump thing has kind of quieted down to be able to do something, kind of a joint plan that would, and I think you're the right guy to do it, so I appreciate your so let me just a couple things. Steph, Mike, phenomenal job. I'll see you at the fitness center. Going to be burning Carol, so many years. And thank you for all you've done, and particularly helping us get our bond rating increased to AAA. That's just out of this world. Chris Leiner, what can I say? Your ability to kind of manage multiple projects going on is just great. And our parks are looking wonderful. You're great job. Aaron, Mitch Ford, marketing is just phenomenal. Thank you very much. Jenny, love working with you. And Lisa Shepard. So Lisa, Lisa and I, we've had a kind of interesting relationship. You know, I'm probably the person that kind of serves me, but sometimes I'm your biggest supporter.
Sure.
In some ways, Lisa and I are a lot alike. We're patient to do stuff, we want to do things. And, sometimes it's important to kind of get everybody pulled back in. I've enjoyed my time with you. I think you've learned a lot. You've really grown. And what you've brought to this district, I mean, with all the awards that we have and the accolades that you've got, I think we have the best, staff. You have brought together the best staff, I think, in the state of Illinois. And, they talk in baseball about, wins above replacement. Value above replacement here is just phenomenal. The folks that were here before, nice people, great people, but the team that you put together, the value you guys bring to this community is great. I wanted to thank a few people, and thank the caucus for nominating me, didn't know what I was getting into. thank the community for allowing me to kind of serve for 6 years. And what I've learned is the most powerful people in this room are folks sitting in that chair out there. You guys can completely change the tone of the meeting. I want to thank my kids, Milton and Michelle, who kind of grew up in this park district. They worked for a long time, and really after the bullying stuff, the staff really left them alone, which is kind of interesting. And they basically, without any supervision, they ran the beach for 2 years. They pretty much ran the beach. And as a parent, I thought, wow, I'm so proud of them. But as an adult in the community, I was a little suspicious. I'm saying, I'm not sure that's exactly right. As a board member, I don't think that's the right approach. But, when I first got on the start of the Lakefront Advisory, those guys knew more about beach operation than anybody at that time on staff. They were told, tell me what's wrong with the team. It's 8 pages. And we work with staff then and over time. And I think we accomplished almost everything on that list. Things that were wrong, were broken, and need to be fixed. And so, they're out there celebrating stuff other graduations tonight. So I want to thank them as well. And finally, I want to thank my wife, Janet. Janet was there, at the very beginning. We had a lot of soul-searching walks about what's going on. Why is this district so broken? What can we do about it? We want to go and fight the park district. Said, no, we're going to fix this thing from the inside out. And at the right time, when I was stepping up, I said, should I do this? Should I commit 6 years? And it's not a voluntary time. It's probably about 2 hours a week. So that's 600 hours, and then maybe even more, maybe close to 1,000 hours. So I spent between 600 and 1,000 hours. And I said, that's time away from family and social things and other stuff. I said, look, this is we got to do this. This is important for the community. And was there, in the early going when things were rough and we were getting stink eye and, kinds of threats and all this kind of stuff. But you were there kind of to say, don't worry about it, just persevere, this is the right thing to do. And then when we were dealing with the water plant and all that, dealing with the village, and that was kind of high cortisol level as well. So we went through, three periods of time when there was a lot of high cortisol. You kind of stay in hand and say, stick with it, this is a good thing that you're doing, community service. And so I want to say this, back from those walks back then, we looked way back then, and this is 10 years ago, and we said, we're going to, one day there's going to be a park district that functions well, boards that function well, that's transparent and accountable, staff that's phenomenal, that takes care of people, that makes working there an enriching program where people enjoy going to the programs and all that. I think we're there now. I think we are at a point where we're there. I'm comfortable saying, my work here is done. There's a lot of stuff still to do. My work here is done, and I want to say to you, thinking of all this watch, Jen, and here we are today, 10 years later, mission accomplished. Thank you very much.
Before you get up from your seat, though, we have a motion that I need to have entertained with you on the board. I'd like to entertain a motion to move agenda item 9 prior to recess to change the order so that we can have Stephanie and Josh come up and take their oath of office now before our break. So I entertain a motion to move the agenda item 9 prior to recess.
So moved. Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? You can mark me as an aye as well.
All right.
Thank you.
Stay there.
All right.
All right.
Yes,
As board secretary, it's my pleasure to open. Oh, that's not it. Going back here. Oops, sorry. Can I ask Stephanie to come up? Let me go up here.
I think Stephanie got
the
most bullets, right?
I got the fewest.
Oh, okay. Everybody just said one and then.
All right, so repeat after me.
All right,
I, Stephanie Boren.
I, Stephanie Boren.
Have been elected to the office of Park Commissioner of the Glencoe Park District.
Having been elected to the office of Park Commissioner of the Glencoe Park District.
Cook County, Illinois.
Cook County, Illinois.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Park Commissioner to the best of my ability.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Park Commissioner to the best of my ability.
There you go. That's all I got. You do have to sign it to speak it all official.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. You can take a seat up at the table. All right, Josh.
I, Josh Levin. I, Josh Levin.
Have been elected to the office of Park Commissioner of the Glencoe Park District, Cook County, Illinois.
Having been elected to the office of Park Commissioner of the Glencoe Park District, Cook County, Illinois.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm.
Do hereby solemnly swear, declare and affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Park Commissioner to the best of my ability.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Park Commissioner to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Very much. Right here.
Our next order of business is going to be take a brief 10-minute recess so that we can congratulate Andre on his retirement and congratulate Stephanie and Josh on joining the board. So we will reconvene at 8:05. Please help yourself to some refreshment. And you noticed I vacated my. I'll stay up here to be the first few minutes after the recess. And then went all the way down there.
All the way to the end, huh?
I want to get everybody involved. Well, we're going to have Dudley, and then we're going to have Lisa, and then we'll
have Lisa, we need to stop recording, correct?
Is that pause? I can't see. Hold on, wait. Yep. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Lisa, at this point of the meeting now, it's time to elect the president and vice president now that we have our new commissioners seated. If you would conduct the election for board president and then vice president.
Excellent. As board secretary, it's my pleasure to open nominations for president of the board. Are there any nominations for president?
I would like to nominate Mr. Dudley Underdog.
And I would like to second that nomination.
Any other nominations? Hearing no further nominations, the nomination president are closed. Roll call vote approving Dudley Underdunk as Park Board President. That's me. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Okay, where's my new one? Hold on, I'm going to have to get the right names. Commissioner Byrne? Boren?
Yeah.
Yes? Say yes. I do this a lot. Yes. President Underdog.
Yay!
Yes. As Board Secretary, it's my pleasure to open nominations for Vice President of the Board. Are there any nominations for Vice President?
I'd like to nominate Lisa Brooks for Vice President of the Board.
Second.
There we go. Any other nominations? Hearing no further nominations, the nomination for Vice President are closed. Roll call vote approving Lisa Brooks as Park Board Vice President. Commissioner Byrne? I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Boren.
Yes. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
It'll take me all night. Commissioner Brooks? Yes, you do.
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
All right. Congratulations to the new President and Vice President of the Park Board. All right.
Go right here.
Okay, this is the appointment of officers and representatives. I move to appoint Josh Lutton as treasurer, Robert Bush of Ansel, Glink, Diamond, Bush, and DeConte, and Kaufner, as general legal counsel and ethics officer, Lisa Shepherd as secretary to the board, / executive director, myself, Dudley Underdonk, as representative to the Plan Commission for Glencoe, and Lisa Shepherd and Jennifer Runkle as Freedom of Information Officers. Second?
I second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Okay, additional appointments. Finance Committee of the Whole, Josh Lutton is chair. Members, Stephanie Boren, Lisa Brooks, Steve Gaines, and myself, Dudley Underdonk. Special Projects Committee, chair, Lisa Brooks, Stephanie Boren, and Steve Gaines. Personnel and Policy Committee, chair, Steve Gaines. Members of Personnel and Policy, Lisa Brooks and myself, along with Steve. Advisory appointments, Glencoe Beach and Lakefront Committee, Josh Lutton. Watts Advisory Committee, Steve Gaines. He skates. and the Early Childhood Advisory Group, Stephanie Boren, and then I think Lisa, I'd like you on that as well on the committee. NSSRA is our liaison, Lisa Shepherd, our executive director. And, okay, next item, are we okay on that?
Yep, we're good.
Okay, now we're moving along to the financial report. 2 months of the fiscal year are complete, and is there a report on that from staff?
I really don't have anything additional to add to what's already included in the report. We're only 2 months in, so again, we're before the beach season starts. Obviously, the warmer weather really does help our past selves. Walking into the office this morning, there were several people who perhaps wait until the warmer weather. So we're hoping for a little bit of a stretch of the warmer weather here before we open the beach season. Memorial.
Okay. Any questions about the financial report from the commissioners? No? No? I had a quick question. How are things coming with the credit card processing?
Well, we'll find out on the so the concern has been the internet connection. So we're confident we've tested it.
Okay.
It works to have two simultaneous workstations working at the same time. That's what we're going to do later this week.
Terrific.
So our fingers are crossed. We've done all that we can to prepare for it, but we're very hopeful that it will all be successful as what we planned for.
It's a great innovation, and I'm glad we're moving ahead with that. Okay, next item would be staff reports, business issues.
Business issues, just tying up the final, we have the first draft of the audit on the 19th, this week on Friday from the auditors. We fill in a little bit of information with our management and discussion analysis, which is actually a part of the audit report, and we'll be coming to the board, the finance committee as a whole, just to highlight in June for discussions. The partner from the law firm, from the audit firm here, and then we'll start to talk about what additional monies we can transfer for commitment to fund 59 projects, which with the meeting that we had earlier today, I think will be very helpful to have some additional money.
Commissioners, any questions on business? Nope. Okay. Let's talk about recreation and facilities.
Yeah, not too much to report outside of the report we have here, but get very busy with camp and beach prep, and then we're also excited, I noted in my report, that we're testing 3 apps for the Children's Circle program to introduce technology as a way to communicate between teachers and parents for that, and the testing's been going on for about a week and a half. It's going really well. All the apps are very user-friendly, so we're excited to keep moving forward with that.
Okay. Any questions from the commission?
The feedback from the teachers, I'm sure, is very important to the process as well as the parents.
Yep, we'll be doing a wrap-up meeting. We're testing 3 apps over a 4-month period, so each classroom parents will have each app for a week and it'll kind of rotate around. And then we'll have a wrap-up meeting at the end where we'll collect feedback from the administrative perspective, both our, you know, our IT support, things like that, from the teacher's perspective from functionality, and then from the parent perspective of the information we're getting from.
Okay. Other questions, concerns?
Mike, am I reading this report correctly that at the beach we already collected $35,000 more than the previous year?
Correct. It's total revenue, which includes boathouse, trellis rentals, beach passes, sailing camps. A big part of that is the aquatics camp, which is a brand new number that was a 0 last year, so
okay.
That's a pretty decent part. But yeah, across the board, generally, beach is looking pretty strong again this year.
And that, presumably, that's not weather dependent, though, so that's amazing.
It's good, yeah. We're off to a very good start, but again, weather will dictate a lot of it, so.
Okay, just one cautionary note from my perspective on the use and taking pictures and communication with the cell phones in the learning centers. I think it's important that the teachers not forget about the students and spend all their time communicating with the parents.
yeah, that's
it's a fine line, certainly.
We want the app to be very intuitive and user-friendly, and the important part is going to be setting expectations with parents as well.
Yes.
Because we have the app, you're not going to get 15 pictures of your child,
yeah.
But you may get one every day, and sometimes it'll be in a group. So yeah, I totally agree. The important part is that they're still paying attention to the children, not having their face buried in an iPad all day.
Great. Okay. Parks and maintenance.
Well, I don't have much to report on beyond my report. Obviously, the weather has finally really gotten warm. We're really excited about getting the beach open here Memorial Day weekend, so a lot of emphasis on that and athletic fields at this time. So, any other questions?
Commissioners, any questions?
Quick question. What was the incident at Melvin Berlin with trespassing?
Several months ago? That incident?
I know, I just read about it.
Oh,
I don't know. I just like, geez, already?
There was a group of presumably teenagers, unknown age, that entered the site and...
Before we opened
oh, and
yeah.
Set fire to one of the wooden picnic tables. It was not set fire isn't really a good descriptor. Caused a small fire that burned the top of the table. So, you know, whether it was just a little pile of debris, paper, that type of stuff, so... We had to order a replacement tabletop, but that was it.
All right.
Okay, marketing and communications.
Most of it's in my report. We did have our graphic design intern start today, so he will be working on photography and graphic design this summer. We are also wrapping up filming for our gold medal
video.
Want to tell us the theme?
No.
No.
We do not.
No. You will see it June 5th.
No. You can't leak this to other park districts. It's a public meeting.
Yeah. We had involvement across all teams. Some members of our staff are even featured.
In the video?
So we're very excited to unveil it on June 5th.
Yeah. So that's when we have to put it on their website. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Good. And finally, I noticed in the agenda packet the safety committee has been meeting and working away. I think that's terrific.
They meet monthly and go over all accident reports. This time of year, their focus is on park inspections and facility inspections, and safety training is a big emphasis. We're doing first aid and CPR training with all of our staff this year, so our staff got certified to do that training, so we have a lot more flexibility, and it's cost effective compared to the past, so we're happy to make that jump into our safety.
Okay, and then we come to the executive director's report.
Yes. Well, I'm proud to announce that we're finalists for the National Gold Medal. You might hear me say that every month, so let's give a round of applause. We are very excited to be in a category of four other park districts, with three other park districts across the nation. So I put in here, you know, what that really means, but really it is a combined effort between the board, good stewardship, great staff, and the innovative. They really look at everything we've done in the last 3 to 4 years and compared to us to other districts. So we're very proud to be put in that category and look forward to our so September, that'll be a long, long wait, I think. We're a little anxious. So we, as you said, we're working on a gold medal video, which we'll post it to our website. And that video is also really meant to highlight the park district as a public education piece. So that's what we're focusing on, is so that we can educate the community and everything that we have.
It focuses on the three pillars: conservation, nature, health and wellness, and social equity and community.
So, as you know, our community of less than 9,000 is up against communities of 30,000 or less, so we're mighty vote for confidence. So I would like to ask if on our June 6th committee meeting, we have a committee meeting first Tuesday of every month for Josh and Stephanie, if we could have our park tour that night.
Oh, okay.
I want to move it up so that we could start talking about our capital projects in July. So we look at the parks before we have that discussion. I don't know if I want to talk about whether we want to do bicycle or not. If you remember last year, while it's nice to ride around on town, we waste a lot of time, and we don't get to all the parks, and we're kind of rushing, okay, let's get to this one. So I would recommend that we take the park district bus this year to get us around to those sites a little bit faster. We don't mind riding a bike, but if we did the bike, we probably have to move it to a Saturday because it gets dark earlier and stuff.
6:30,
if that's okay. On June 6th, we'll start that, because I don't think there's any other things we have to approve in committee meeting. That would be it. So we'll plan on that. So that's Tuesday, June 6th at 6:30. Thank you for that. And then we're doing our all staff training, so that's really our big training with all of our seasonal staff, which is mostly the recreation and facilities department. So Mike has a really creative idea that they're doing. It might be a little bit tied to that our Glencoe Park District team won the IPRA Park Pursuit for the third year in a row. Do you like how I got that in? So I did get that in for you. Yeah, isn't that impressive? The third year in a row we won the recreation division, so that's great. So this year we're doing Pursuit of Park District Knowledge, and we're going to have our staff have little stations throughout town, and they're going to learn about the park district and different policies and safeties in a fun and creative way. So we usually do a speaker or something very innovative. So this year Mike is taking the lead on that and doing that for our part-time seasonal staff. So that is next Thursday. So if anybody would like to come out and see that, that'll be fun. It'll go from 6:30 to 8 on that one. This year our theme is Get Your Play On. So you're going to see our t-shirts, and all of our staff will have that t-shirt on, and that will be in all of our marketing materials throughout the summer.
It coincides with the national theme.
It does coincide with NRPA's theme. So, you know, get your play on. We've got people outside, and get outside. We've already worked with Winnetka Park District for the 4th of July for Stephanie and Josh. What we do is we close our beach, unfortunately, because we have to set the fireworks off on our beach. So we don't like to turn people away that want to come swimming, so we worked out a deal with Winneka. So our residents get resident rates. If they have a token, they can use that token down at Winneka, no charge. So it's a win-win for both our agencies. So if non-residents come, we send them back down to Winneka and they get those non-resident fees. So if people show up, and it's less and less each year that are coming, people know that we're closed now, we have some place to send them to think. So that's been worked out already with that park district. Dudley has volunteered to represent the park district on Memorial Day, but I invite you all to go out to Veterans Park at 11 a.m. on Memorial Day, Monday. The Patriotic Committee of the Village puts that on, so it's the village and the park district, and it's a really nice event out there. Other than that, the one last thing is that when I was doing our park board training, Josh asked if there was any other way that we could do the emails, because it's a little cumbersome. As you all know, we and Carol can explain this. Do you want to explain it better to me?
Sure. Right now what we do is utilize your personal email address so that your park district email address goes to your personal email. The downside of that is that really to respond to the to keep the track for FOIA purposes, you have to log into the web-based email and respond from that. And I know a lot of times it doesn't probably happen, and we're not supposed to respond from our personal email. So while it gives you the convenience of seeing emails, it's cumbersome to respond. So the second option...
Wait a second.
The second option is to actually literally download the client onto your phone for the mail server or GPD email. So the downside of that is that you have to check that on a timely basis. Check it every day, which if you're checking your work every day or your personal, now it just means you're adding the park district email. But the upside is that if you respond, it's coming from your park district email account. So I don't care which way you guys like to do it. I know boards have... They come and shift, and it's really at your discretion how you would like.
But everybody has to do the same thing.
I would like to be consistent so that I'm not tracking one thing who wants to do it one way or one another. Yes, Pete.
Okay, so I understand that if someone in the community or outside the community wants to send me an email, they can find my email next to my profile site on the website, SK, it's part of the park district. That gets to me in my personal regular email box. I get that.
Correct.
I typically want everything I do to be recorded and recordable so that it's FOIA proper and within the guidelines of how we're supposed to operate. So I always respond to Lisa. If I get anything like that requesting information or a response to me, I forward that email to Lisa, sometimes with a note going, not sure why this came to me, or whatever it might be, but I send that to Lisa in case Lisa might want to share that with other board members, because I don't email other board members directly unless it's about a personal dinner or barbecue unrelated to anything having to do with Park District. Don't do it at all. So my preference is to continue operating the way we have been. I feel that going that route where I email back to Lisa and ask her to share with the other commissioners creates that trail that we need to have so that you know, because it's all goes through your server.
Yeah. And that doesn't stop. Obviously, with Open Meetings Act, you can only email with one other commissioner or I think so is me. So that's our policy and our procedure manual and the board manual.
We don't
is that as you come to me, right, everything comes to me and then I disperse it. The question here is that right now, if you reply to email that's sent to your personal one, you're replying back from your personal account.
That's why I only reply to you.
Right.
You
but regardless, whenever you reply from your personal account, that all that now you put your personal email that could be under scrutiny for FOIA. So what you want to do is you want to, before you forward it on, you would want to go back into the system, into the Glencoe Park District system, and then send from your Glencoe Park District address.
Okay, so, I have a separate folder that I keep for all Park District business. Anything I receive and anything I send. So I'm thinking if I were to have a FOIA request that they could take that whole folder by all means.
But they could also ask to go through all your personal emails just to make sure everything's in that folder. Doesn't happen very often, but they could do that.
Well,
it's never happened. It's never happened for us, but, you know.
Again,
so,
you
but anyways, it gets...
Versus, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, for me, very briefly, first of all, I'm kind of low on storage, so I really don't want to add another...
After.
I have to wait until September to get another... I mean, the problem is... but that's one thing. And I just feel like I wouldn't check at Park District. I wouldn't check the Park District email often. And I'm concerned that if I didn't get pushed through to my Gmail, things that, I mean, you're, and thirdly, most of the interaction, email interaction, is one way. You'll be explaining something.
Most time,
you'll
yes.
be passing something to us. And if there's anything substantive whatsoever, I don't have any problem going through the Park District
sure.
site. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
other comments from the board?
Yeah, my primary concern was I didn't want to expose any of our personal or professional emails to being FOIA'd by something new to Park District business. I completely understand the concern that if we have to create a separate email client, that would be a pain in the butt. That's inconsistent with how it works in other organizations that I'm involved with, where it would simply be adding an account to your existing client, like your Gmail or your Outlook. If that's the case, I think it's very straightforward and doesn't require any additional memory. But it would create this easy audit trail, the easy ability to respond with Park District email without ever involving any of our personal emails at all.
I mean, that is definitely a consideration.
However, it's a separate client, which would be, again, that would be different than how I understand it would work anywhere else I've been involved.
I mean, I ran this by our IT company, Excalibur, and that per leases report, that's exactly what they said. I just want to make sure what I'm saying. And so I can confirm with him again.
I think it's a separate client. It's like a GoDaddy account, and somebody has a small business thing. And that shows up on each and every one of your devices, your iPad, your desktop, your laptop, and your phone. You're going to have to delete or add to each of them. It's not like your Yahoo or Gmail account, where any action on any one device is reflected on all the other devices. And it's setting up a whole separate account, separate type thing. It's not like the Gmail and Yahoo type accounts.
So when you click on it, you just choose which account you want to check? You click on the icon on your laptop.
One time.
Right, and then you...
One time you would say, I'm going to mail on the iPhone, and I would say I want to add an account.
Right.
And I would say I want to add jludden@glencoeparkdistrict.com. I would say, what's your password?
Right.
I would type it in. And then all emails that get sent to that would show up in the same list as the emails that come to my professional account. So I don't have to check anything separate.
Oh.
That's how I understand it would work.
Okay.
It doesn't
mean
you have the same experience.
I have my work email that comes on my phone, and it's a separate mail, but everything is there together. So
you're just clicking on one icon?
Right.
Yes.
So if it's all under one, then what's to prevent all of that from becoming FOIAable though?
Because it's only presented as one.
Yeah. Okay.
It's only presented
as being archived as one.
Well, then that's easy.
I believe it's easy. However,
I don't have to refer to
the email. I don't want to check a separate thing either, but I would like to ask Carol.
Okay, absolutely. I love that name.
Confirm that language is a little confusing to me about what actually would be involved.
Maybe we could try that.
One more step into the current century. The technology is a lot harder.
Oh, wait, you have right now?
The presentation of accounts while keeping them
still. Carol has, she said she has her set up.
So do I.
Oh, you have it set up too. You want to show them what you're doing now?
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, but we're not getting rare.
I'll go through it.
All right, so all I did was email right here, and I have my personal and my GPD. They're separate, and you hit all inboxes, and then write an email. I don't think that happens, it's fine.
Oh, you just pick between the two, so they have to know who to pick.
And it's
I'm so old school, I use two computers.
You have to use, they have to use two computers.
That works.
They know they're really.
What?
So Daniel set it up, so it sounds like it's doable.
Okay. I mean, you saw the email. I checked it.
Yeah, you did. So all they have to do is pick which account they're emailing back for, so they have to make sure they do that. So we would have to get their phones and to do
so.
Does everybody
so
have a smartphone?
So what's the next step here, just to make it clear for everybody? Hello? Hello. Hi.
So do you
own
multiple devices, or you all just want it on your smartphone? Multiple. I need it on my laptop.
Yeah, I need
it on my
laptop.
So you would all have to bring your devices in and coordinate with Daniel to do that? All right.
Or we would coordinate a day to do it one morning that he's here?
He's got it available.
Right. Right. You would coordinate with Daniel and tell them when to come in.
Right.
You're not. They're not coordinating with Daniel. You are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do
you
really have to come in, or can you just email? Here's your username. And here's your password. Go to add account in your email client.
I'll ask him.
Okay. So there's maybe some follow up that needs to happen with staff to.
So if we can make it happen, like what Jenny showed, then we will. You guys wanted to go that way. Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
That's excellent.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Good. Makes sense.
Okay.
All right.
Is that the last thing under the executive?
Yes. I don't. Yeah, any other questions for me?
Other questions?
Okay.
Okay.
General recreation.
I see something on the wall, and I think Mike's going to bring us up to date.
So this is our monthly report that we started about 3 or 4 months ago, that we highlight a different area in the recreation facilities team. So this month is general recreation. Turn it over to you and introduce your staff.
Yep, I'm joined by Christy Trini, Liz Bastine, and Stephanie Christman. They're going to explain kind of their roles and everything as we go through here. But our general recreation report is explained to a couple of commissioners during our break is the program that we couldn't group with anything else, so we just kind of grouped them all together. So there's a lot of information in here, but we'll try to move quickly. You're going to see this as you go through some of our
other. No, these aren't part of the district phones, these are personal.
So you can see we're highlighting general recreation this month, which doesn't include any of the other bubbles that you see up there. So what's in the report is equally as important as what's not in the report. So what we're going to talk about today is athletics, team programs, visual arts, so drawing, ceramics, performing arts, STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math, general interest classes, our school age, child care, day off programming, and then some youth fitness. Well, so we're not going to talk about our camp program with the exception of action class, because we felt action class was such a big part of team programming, we wanted to sneak that in there somewhere. We're not going to talk about any of our adult programs. We're not going to talk about any of our special events. Beach and break programs come in the Watch and the Beach report. Our early childhood programs will come in the early childhood report. But you will see maybe some programs appearing twice in different presentations. So for example, adult ceramics, can be a ceramics class or an adult class. A men's softball program can be an adult program or a softball program. So the numbers here, if you add up all the numbers overall on the course, they're not going to equal our total revenues because we are going to count in two different sections more importantly. So to start off with marketing and touch on what Erin does for us, which is always terrific. She gave us some great statistics to start. 87% of our residents like our seasonal brochures as a primary source of information. So we know going into planning for the brochure, we have to nail that and make sure that's really popular because 87% of people are looking just at that to make their decisions. Our website continues to gain in popularity, 50% of our residents are using that. And then 42% are finding out through word of mouth. You'll notice through our presentation that we talk about the reputation of some of our programs. That's just word of mouth where people in the community are talking, saying, oh, this program is really nice, the instructors are really great. So that's an important part of what we consider as well. She does a terrific job cross-promoting through emails. If we have a group of participants in one program, she tries to sell them on another program. And then she uses all these other medias, including social media, screens, flyers, posters. And then she also helps support the programs, things like the Broadway Bound. She does tickets for things like, the directional signage. So she also supports the program and then helps by marketing and So with that, I'll turn it over to Chris, and he's going to get us started talking about athletics.
Our athletics programs serve everything from age 3 to adults. Primarily, it's the school-age children, kindergarten through 6th grade, that provide all of the administration for that. We work with both contractors and employees. Some of our other contractors provide dojo, and then we provide karate for us, and also hot shots that do a bunch of different athletic classes. Our most popular class that's taught in-house is our basketball program. We've got about 200 kids in there, and our coaches, John Terry and Miriam, have all served for at least 10 years in our district. Some of the challenges that we're seeing coming up are indoor gym space, particularly in the winter. Most of the people want to practice weeknight at 7 o'clock in the gym, mm-hmm. at course in the south, and we're really kind of battling with that, trying to design as efficient as possible. Also, private and public competition, most of the park districts in the area also run similar programs. You might see someone go to a different park district based off of the schedule, visiting their time recovery. As far as the private competition, enjoy the game, had the release date over, let's go over in Deerfield. The complete ones are over, a little bit more organized with their basketball programs and other sports programming than the people who had those previously. So we are seeing some of the top basketball players go over there as opposed to participating in our travel program. As far as future planning goes, I am looking at trying to get a little bit more adult involvement in. We attempted a second softball league this year, which unfortunately didn't run. And then I'm also looking at hopefully doing an adult volleyball league next summer, now that I've considered people that can run that. The other thing that we also really work on is following new program trends and things that are popular. We really try to provide alternate options. The example of that would be snap golf, which is our golf for 4-year-olds through 8-year-olds. We bought some new equipment for that, and we were able to double the amount of people that we could accommodate in the class, which has been great to see. We've added in a parent and child option for the summer, which is on weekend, so it's kind of reaching out to a different demographic that I've been able to take part in. Best. Next up, field rentals and affiliates. So primarily, this is just kind of working with GA and ASO to ensure that they have fields, make sure that we don't have anything double booked. They use the bulk of the time. We also work with a few different renters. Chief among them, Scottish soccer. We're working with them on football. So the challenges with this include just adding user groups, kind of scheduling more efficiently, and we're using RepTrack to do that now. So we do see everything that is being used on each of the fields on a daily basis. The field conditions, Chris and his staff, big shout out to them. They've done a great job. We had, 10 inches more of rain in 2 months?
Second rainiest year in 150 years.
And we've only rained out, I believe, 9 units right now, which is just incredible. So big shout out to them for their day-to-day and their long-term strategy on taking care of those kids. So the areas of future growth just include continuing to use RepTrack to monitor what goes on in the field and hopefully maximize our use with some of the athletic groups. Under Armour Under the Lights football started 2 weeks ago. It's gone really well so far. And right now we're only doing kindergarten through 7th grade, but we're also expand that in the future and involve some of the older children as well. Team programs, like Mike said, we're just going to include Ashton Bust in this, and it's kind of continued to grow in its popularity. I believe the primary reason for that has just been cycling through field trips, asking the kids what they like, kind of adjusting things more to what they want to see during the summer. This year, we're going to be doing field trips on 35 out of 39 days. And we've added a couple new things like a Sox game, parkour, which is kind of a street running, jumping, obstacle kind of activity. And then also working at hot ground gym. So that's all I have for the team programs. That's what we're doing.
So our team programs primarily serve the 5th through 8th graders, classes, workshops, and special events. A good portion of our programs we collaborate with GJHP, which is for Glenwood Junior High Project, and GYS, which is Glenwood Youth Services. I work hand in hand with those guys trying to come up with continuing program ideas and new events, so continue to stand on that every year. Strength again, kind of relationships and those partnering with those community partners, they are the
available. They're invisible, they're closer to the team. They have that HR connection and do have the ability, but they also have logistics and things and support from Chris Tanner and all of us getting great data from basically, class is another program that's kind of on the rise. We actually serve each kind of accounts. I just got certified, so I can do it. And my last person was 2 years ago, which is really cool. Team event for that's on the rise. We had a team ice night back in January. We had over 60 kids attend, which was huge. We were kind of surprised, pleasantly surprised. So we're planning on bringing that back again this year. Do a bunch of also and ourselves do a week bash show at the end of the school year, which is June 8th, that Thursday. So we're looking forward to that. And then team is a big part of our program. Some challenges, obviously, for programs is just building awareness that we have team programs. You know, a lot of misconceptions that kids need out of the program, it's not true. We want to kind of make it the place to be, the competition is the place to be for teams and hang out and have fun without being shadowed by their parents. And then obviously getting more kids engaged in coming through that. Future growth, again, we're going to continue to build that partnership with GBHB, which is why I actually was, again, they have a much high in kids, and I think the reason why our team is so successful is that they encourage a lot of kids. I think that helps. And then one other event, which is kind of led by the partnership, we are actually offering, talking to our GBHB, we are offering fall team cognitive event.
That's cool.
More information.
With these wonderful teen offerings, how are you doing boys versus girls? Are you getting even amounts?
I would say probably more girls this time, but for the ice night, we did have a lot of boys. Okay. There were quite a few of both.
Okay.
So I'm definitely trying. Yeah, trying to make it so that it's co-ed, they want to come and hang out. And so there were quite a few, especially that since they got to be on ice.
Right.
That was, yeah, the smaller rink was going, and I think these games would be a group all going on, and the bigger rink was just kind of open.
I think we could hold all the questions till the end and then touch them all at the end as we go through. Thank you.
Now I'll talk about strength of care in this section as well. Our strength program is very, very popular and strong. We serve kindergarten through adults, all the way up to older them. Here at the Tate Center, I recommend you check out the strengths if you haven't yet. It's beautiful. Some of the strengths in our program is our fabulous instructors. Natalie Steiner is our lead instructor, and she's great pride of keeping that studio running tip top shape, very organized. It's a great space. And our reputation, again, we have great instructors and we have a great program, and that's one of the reasons why we continue to get more and more kids in the development program. The challenge that we're facing is space. We have that one small studio and time block. So everybody, especially for the kids, they want that right after school time, and I can only have so many classes in the middle of Friday for all the kids. Everything wants it. So, and then if I had to get adult classes, most adults don't want to take classes at 9 o'clock at night. They want to take it during prime time as well. So we're looking at things to do there. Future planning, we're trying to expand a little bit on the preschool program. There are some preschool, enrichment classes during the day. We're trying to change that up a little bit and move schedules so you can expand on that program. And then, obviously, continue to want to offer more formal programs if we can. We're going to investigate the possibility expanding into the artwork across the hall. The artwork is utilized for some art classes, obviously, but we're looking at maybe in the future to expand a little bit more and utilize that space a little bit better. So. And I'm going to have to send people that are really wanting to do art.
So I'm going to talk about the visual arts aspect that we have here in our district. Our visual arts program serves children kindergarten through fifth grade. And they use all different kinds of materials, painting, crafting, things like that, to create our visual arts program. Our instructors are phenomenal and they have a great following. We actually have a good issue this year. I have children that have been in our after school art club program since kindergarten. And they're getting to the point where they're second grade and third grade, and we don't have that class to continue. So we're going to do that in the fall. We have a very strong following with our after school art club, our crafting and painting classes. So we're going to add those classes so those kids can continue and develop and learn and grow with their programming as well. So we're very excited about that. performing arts in the Park District is fabulous. Performing arts consists of dance and theater. Our dance program is run by Helen Boris. She's been here forever and she's phenomenal. Our theater program this year is run by Sarah Hall, and she brings a lot of experience to the children to become full actors, learning on stage things and off as well. One of the strengths in our performing arts program is our Broadway Bounds program. It's a fabulous promise they have on registration day that lasts about 10 minutes. So this year we chose a play that can increase the class next month, the Green Lion King. So it's a very heavy ensemble play. So they're able to allow more children into the program. So we increased the class maximum both Monday and Tuesday by 10. So we were able to accept 20 more children into that program. So it was phenomenal. And we have a really strong group of contractual instructors. Our dance teachers dance themselves outside of teaching. Our theater teachers do theater outside of teaching. So they really help these kids become well-rounded performers. Some of the challenges that we do see with our performing arts program is private competition. We have Dance Ed here. We have Rochelle School of Dance. Those facilities are very specific to those programs. And some people feel that those are the places that they should go for their dance education. But in the future, we're hoping to kind of draw from that and offer new classes for our kids to be able to participate. And we're going to start a tap class in the fall, and we're also going to start a musical theater dance class in the fall, which could help kids with Broadway bound as well. Our STEM program, like Mike said, is science, technology, engineering, and math. It serves kindergarten through sixth grade using engineering classes, Lego especially. Lego is big in our district. The strength in this program is our Lego classes. For example, we have a Jedi engineering class that kids learn all the ins and outs of engineering through Star Wars. And they build Legos and they build robots and things like that through the theme of Star Wars, and the kids love it. And right now, this is a trendy thing. They're talking about it a lot in schools, so we're trying to jump on the bandwagon and bring as much of the STEM program to the Park District as we can. Some of the challenges that we do find with the STEM program is with contractual limitations. So for example, the computer that we use for robotics class, it can only bring so many computers to the class. So that decreases the class maximum, which means we don't let as many children into the program. And this topic is continually evolving. There's things that are changing every day. So we're trying our best to keep on top of it and making sure that we're often fresh in the program. So for the future, like I said, we're going to offer different levels of programming. We have intro to coding, and then we'll have a coding class where children can develop their own video game. In the fall, they're going to be able to develop their own app for an iOS program or an Android program. And we're looking to offer new and exciting classes each session that we have planned. Our general interest program is serving kindergarten through sixth grade as well. And we use Take It, and we also use facilities at South School. Chess College is a very large draw in our general interest program. That class as well fills up pretty quickly on registration day, and we've also increased the maximum in that class to be able to accommodate all the kids. They're able to learn the ins and outs of chess, they play with their friends, and then they get a chess kit that they're able to take home and show their families and play with their families and show them what they learned in class. We've also served the niche market. So I am really lucky that I have been able to develop great relationships with people in the community. And if people are able, people call me and say, I want a cooking class or I want a sewing class. So I'm able to find, through the contractors that we have, I'm able to find classes that we're able to offer that can fill up. So for example, we have a cooking class. We offered it in the spring for the first time. It filled up with a waitlist that was just the same amount as the maximum class. So it's phenomenal. The challenges that we have with that is enrollments that fluctuate and internal competition. So on any given day, you have ceramics classes, you have sport classes, you have dance classes. So because we offer so many fabulous classes in the Park District, we end up competing with each other, which causes enrollment to dip and go up because they want to make sure that they can be able to participate in all the programs that they can. So in the future, we're looking at the rec team to balance our program offerings and try to almost compete with each other less. We made a chart, so we're hoping to kind of balance the class offerings. We're also looking to offer some weekend buses. I know the stigma of the park district is weekends is only for sports. We don't want that anymore. We want classes that they can take, and if they don't have too much space or opportunity for them to do it during the school week, we want them to be able to do that here on campus. Our Kids Club program serves kindergarten through sixth grade as well. The Kids Club is newly located at Watts. I was lucky, and I've been in the park district before I was in my position, and a lot of the feedback from the parents I heard was busing from South School or West School to the Davis Center for Kids Club was already expensive on top of the price that they pay monthly for Kids Club. So I looked into moving Kids Club at Watts, and when I did that, our enrollment went through the roof. We have 40 kids consistently throughout the week that come. Parents save that money on the bus. The kids are escorted to South School each day by a teacher, and we're also utilizing our park district bus. We're shuttling kids to and from West School. We're also shuttling kids to and from the Take It Center, so they're able to participate in those enrichment classes. The other thing is that we offer a lot more school day off options this year, so when there is no school, the parents really don't have to worry about what am I going to do with my child, because we have a program here. So I offered this year school day off programs on every single day that there was no school, and that enrollment skyrocketed as well. So some of the challenges that we find with Kids Club and school day off is our space constraints. The classroom is only so big, we have 40 kids. So one day we're hoping that we have enough children that the South kids can stay at Watts, and we'll move the West kids here. And we can grow the two programs that way. The other challenge that we find is finding qualified staff. We have a teacher, Carrie Reeses, who's been with the Kids Club program forever. She actually is starting to see children that she had in Kids Club start working on our summer program. So she's been here for a long time. So I like being able to provide quality teachers with history and a background, and it's challenging to find people that are able to do that. The hours are kind of wonky too. It's 7 to 9 in the morning, and then there's a break during the day, and then they're back in the evening 3 to 6:30. So it's challenging to find a person that has a schedule that's able to accommodate that. Also with school day off programs, we like to use our summer staff that we've got through the summer, but unfortunately New Trier's school day off schedule doesn't match District 35. So when we have no school, New Trier does. So it doesn't always help us very well, but we're looking to improve on that.
So obviously you can see we offer a huge variety of programs. We're really proud of the variety. We're also really proud of the focus on eliminating the popular programs, replacing them with new trend ideas. And you can tell, you know, the fact that we're very customer focused, which came up earlier, you know, this meeting, that we really do strive to offer everyone at the right time, the right age group, the right location, and that will constantly be changing. So we'll constantly be evaluating and adjusting to make sure our program portfolio meets the needs of our community. So with that, we'll open up any questions and comments.
Commissioners? Yes.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to tell you I'm really excited. Thank you, Stephanie, Liz, and Chris. We don't, as board members, we don't get to see your enthusiasm and hear about the great things you're doing often enough. So Mike and Lisa, thanks for incorporating these, I'm calling them seasonal reports, they're not quarterly, whatever you want
monthly,
to do.
Yeah.
It sparks enthusiasm within us to see what you guys are doing. Thanks.
Nice job.
Any other questions? I had a question. We do some trips. Where do you take folks on trips? I mean, you don't go to Lollapalooza or anything, right?
teen trips.
I'm planning on doing some in the fall. That's a little bit more foreshadowing. I'm planning on doing some community, like more community involvement trips. Like we, as a staff went to feed my starving children. That was one of the ideas I was going to do. So it's like a service project.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to try and put that bug in my counterpart at the GGHB. They want to help me feed, but if we school it out, they may not want to join me. But that's an idea I had. Actually, to do a couple trips for teens. We did offer a ski trip this past February, but unfortunately, I didn't have enough kids to run it. But I'm going to try that again.
Our team camp, though, goes on a lot of field trips. They go everywhere from baseball games to...
You go to Cubs games. Water parks, you go to the Chicago Sky game. Mostly it's water parks. We do go to the beach here once a week. A couple other pools, game works.
Ropes course.
Great. Okay.
Pretty much everywhere.
Good. Okay. Oh, question here?
You mentioned that you mentioned
that teens,
but
parents
and children,
younger kids too,
were always
looking for things
like that. So,
yeah,
I
thought
that
was
also
something
that
we
have a lot of interest.
That's
a great idea.
Yeah, I got some feedback from the community over the past couple of weeks. One was a desire for, I don't think more programming for middle school and high school, but a place for them to hang out, which admittedly sounds a little bit like
GYS and GJ, HP.
But I can see how like expanded hours or something like that mm-hmm. would be helpful, or programs that have, in addition to one-off events, mm-hmm. place things that are, you know, sort of opportunities to keep kids out of trouble. Also, received a request for more adult opportunities to participate in athletics. One suggestion was ultimate frisbee. I'm not advocating for that, that's a suggestion. And it's difficult, I found this report to be really helpful, but what is a little bit difficult to see is what's the age group of all of our participants. And we use some of the terms, like active adults, I still don't know what that means. And I think you use the terms around some of the younger kids too, that staff uses every day, but I'm not, and maybe it's just because I'm a new commissioner, but I'm not really sure I internalize what those terms mean. I'd love to see a chart or something in the future board meeting where we can say, here are the age groups that are actually participating. Right? Like, here's how many 5-year-olds we have, here's how many 25-year-olds we have, here's how many 45-year-olds we have. And maybe we can align on some common names for those groups or just refer to them by name.
Our participation is pretty similar with most in the industry, where it's kind of a bell curve. It starts out a little low in preschool, and then once you hit that, like, kindergarten through second, third grade, it kind of peaks. And then once you hit fourth grade, it kind of starts going back down. So I think our participation follows the kind of industry trend with that. And the way we kind of grouped it as a department is almost by school. So you've got your preschool, your South School kids, which are K through 2, your West School kids, which are 3rd and 4th, and then your Central, which are 5th and up, and then high school and all through there. So I know that's not a perfect answer for you, but we'll be, you know, starting.
Okay, another question?
Just
go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, very dynamic team, dynamic programming, which I'm very impressed with. It's changing with the as the needs change. Fantastic. Josh, I totally get that people say they want their teenagers to please hang out problems with teenagers and don't want to have And so there's a conflict there. But keep fighting the good fight. I can't believe you can get any teenagers doing anything.
GYS serves that need though. GYS it does for teens.
Yeah.
High school and junior high is originally started as high school drop-in center, which they have every day after school.
Right, it is.
And then now they have like open to junior high too. So.
Anyway, congratulations. The statistic that the data that I like to see and show that sometimes it is not just profit, because that's certainly what we're looking at, how we're serving needs, but numbers of participants. So that's real helpful just to see how that acts as a menu, but we don't expect it to be a constant upward, you know, curve at all, and you know, you explain why there is these structures and all of that, but it's just helpful for us to see that we're getting people with what help in the program.
That's what most of the charts are, is participation.
Thank you. Has staff considered doing an open house showcasing the adult programs we have here? The reason I ask that is I like to think that I probably am aware as the average Glentonian as to what we're doing, or maybe even a little bit more, because I read with great interest when our brochures and things come out, having been involved with some of you guys for a while now. But I'm still always amazed at this program or that one. Well, now you're doing the cooking program. How did I miss that?
Steve, we're going to do an active adult program report. That was not with this one. That one is.
But my question was a different one. I don't recollect in my recent involvement with the Park District the last 15 years if we've had anything like an adult open house type night to showcase what we're doing here. Mm-hmm.
So we have two kind of take of special events that we do. One coincides with spring and fall. So we kind of made those into open houses where we showcase, like this year we did a passport system where you came in, you got a passport, and you had 10 punches, and one was rowing, and one was on mini golf, and one was our dance class. And the idea was to expose everyone to all the different programs we offer.
And this was part of Family Fun Fest.
We didn't specifically tailor it to adults, but that's certainly a great suggestion. Is maybe that's something we either look to include in the Family Fun Fest, or we
might be interested in that. Talking with some of the people that are already coming in here, going, how can we get more of your friends here? Could we do one night where we have most of our staff, and maybe you come in with them, and you can see the different things going on here. What are you folks interested in doing?
Not a bad idea.
Stephanie, did you have a question?
Just a comment, too. You hit on most of the programs that I know are really popular and hard to get into. And the ones that I'm online at 6 in the morning to get kind of crowded around Legos and chat. So all those are great, and people really love them. The other thing is the Book Buddy. And I know that's not good, but that's GGHB. So that poor woman, like she is like inundated, and parents call her because my child is a lecturer and I want to be on it. So I had talked to her after the last registration. I didn't get in this year for my daughter, but we had talked about doing something joint with kind of like a walkathon or jumpathon. We were talking about doing a readathon. So I don't know if she contacted you about that, but I spoke to her about trying to draw that interest into a different activity.
That's a good idea.
Okay, other questions? I think we're good.
Thank you guys. Very nice job.
Thank you.
Very good.
Nice job.
Action.
Got a list of action items. No, you don't have to read the resolutions.
Okay. We're now on the action items part of the agenda. I would like to entertain a motion to approve the commemorative retirement resolution for Kathleen Kramer as presented.
Number 866. That's for the record.
Number 866, I'm sorry.
Second.
Yes. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That's been approved.
You have to say any opposed.
Oh, any opposed? No opposed.
Perfect, thank you.
I entertain a motion to approve the commemorative retirement resolution number 867 for Patricia, is it pronounced Boudreau?
Yep.
Boudreau as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Well, any opposed? No. Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the commemorative retirement resolution number 868 for Roberta Shore as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 870, bank depository relationship with BMO Harris Bank, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Dylan? Okay. Commissioner Bruin?
Yes.
I said it wrong. Brooks?
Yes.
Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. Entertain a motion to approve for five Glencoe Park District employees, staff to attend NRPA Annual Congress with expenses not to exceed $8,000 as presented. I think that was outlined in your agenda packet.
So moved.
Second. Discussion? Roll call vote, please.
I'm blaming them that I'm getting your name wrong, Stephanie, because they messed me up all day. They're all laughing at me. Commissioner Bruin?
Yes.
Commissioner Stephanie. That's your name for that one.
Instead of Warren, it's Warren. Just remember it that way.
Instead of what?
Warren, it's Warren.
There we go. I'm going to remember it now. I would never think of that. Okay. Commissioner Boron, got it. You were wrong.
I was right.
We were guessing.
No, I was right.
Did you say yes? Okay. Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
I'm never going to forget it now.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay, we may have a little discussion on this next item concerning approval of commissioners to attend the NRPA conference. Would this be the time to talk a little bit about it? Or wait,
exactly,
second?
No, you can talk about it now.
We didn't move into two points, so I don't know what we could vote on until we could talk.
Yeah, you have to talk about it first. So that is the mention first, yeah. So it is not uncommon when for park district commissioners go to NRPA conference to get learning opportunity not only for staff but also for commissioners. Really not uncommon to have representation when you're up for a gold medal. So when we were looking at it, as we talked about above, we believe we can use park district credit card miles that we've been saving to afford airline tickets for two additional commissioners, right? There's seven altogether. Seven, yes. And then there's options for, there's a conference fee, and there's also exhibit-only package that comes with NRPA also for that. For our gold medal, the gold medal reception is on Monday night. What was that, September 25th? And then the gold medal is announced Tuesday morning, late morning, at the conference, all section, all conference social keynote and awards. So we were just wondering if any commissioners would like to go and how you would like to do that.
Yes. May I have a question, please?
Yes.
I would like to get a little bit of a handle before I would be able to make a decision on making it prudent for the park district to spend money for commissioners to go. So we would essentially have three or four different categories of expenses. For an individual, whether we pay ourselves or the park district provide some level of assistance. We'll have transportation, we'll have accommodations, there'll be meals, and then the conference registration cost. For a commissioner that wanted to attend the Monday evening, no, Tuesday morning event related to the gold medal, and to be able to go into the exhibit hall, what would that cost the park district to cover a commissioner?
$145 for the conference registration fee, and then for hotels, well, it's three nights at
$230 a night
for a hotel room, and then airfare, we have miles for that, and then per diem is about $85 per day.
Well, I would share my personal feelings on this, that I am so excited out of my skin that we're nominated
that we have the possibility that I don't care if I have to take the New Orleans Express train, one way or another, I'm going to find myself there. I'm just very excited. The fact that the Park District financially might be able to assist the commissioners in some way, that's terrific, and at the same time, I think we should really be bearing the brunt of some of this ourselves. My personal feeling is I think it would be great for the Park District to perhaps pay for our conference registration costs. I can get myself there. I could pay for the hotel if I want to see us there and enthused to be there without putting the Park District behind too much of an eight ball. But I don't want to make it too expensive for others that might consider going. We can afford possibly two commissioner airfares. Is anybody else interested in going?
I would be interested in going.
Well, you can all go. You don't want all of us
there. Oh, sure. That would be great.
When is it?
September
25th.
25th. Yeah. The conference goes from Tuesday to Thursday. Monday night, it's like a reception, it's opening reception, it's not even dinner, but it's a reception, and then the keynote is on Tuesday.
Does anybody have reservations about the Park District covering some part of the commissioner's expense on that weekend?
No.
No,
I have no objection at all.
I would be interested in going, but I'd be prepared to pay my hotel and the other expenses that you talked about, Steve. It would be terrific if we could, find a way to have some of the travel underwritten. For me, I have a commitment back here in Glencoe that Wednesday night, so I could only go Monday and Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
But that also saves a hotel mm-hmm. and...
My schedule is similar to Douglas. I could go to be in there at any time for the Monday, and I would probably return home Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
So what do you need to know?
Well, according to the policy, we just have to pass any expenses that are associated with the conference. So that's what we need to know, is like approval of... So if commissioners to attend conference expenses not to exceed a certain amount of money.
So I think first you need to determine what is going to be paid for.
What is going to be paid for, and then we can go from there.
And who's going to go?
Yep.
Well, there are three people that are interested. Are you interested too, Jeff?
I can't go during the week due to work. But another way to do it would be to say, how much money are we comfortable paying for commissioners to go, and then decide how many commissioners want to go and just divide up the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously fees,
mm-hmm.
entrance, okay, so everything else is up for grabs, so airfare, hotel, and per diem,
mm-hmm.
right?
But two airfares.
We have miles for, we think, right? Yep. If we could book them right away, so.
Yeah. So then there'd just be one. And then two of us would be expecting there for three nights. Would be there for two nights, Steve? Is that
I would be there Monday night and Tuesday night, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah. For me, Monday night and Tuesday night, because I need to come back for the Plan Commission meeting.
I don't know.
Tuesday, yeah. Late morning, yeah. And the exhibit hall is open on Tuesday, correct?
I would think so.
Okay. What that's doing is it's reducing the cap. As this happens, we're reducing the cap, so maybe we can squeak in under that $8,000. I don't know.
Well, the $8,000 was just for staff. This is the second.
Oh, I see. This is the second.
This is the additional one.
Okay, I was just going to say that... even if only one commissioner had decided to go, and the Park District staff told me that they have the potential to pay for up to two commissioners' airfare, my gut tells me that we should keep that it's mileage airfare earned off a credit card, expenditures of the Park District credit card. My gut tells me that we should keep those miles in there for other possible travel expenses, for other things that our staff needs to attend. saying that we should be responsible for our own transportation.
Okay, how do the rest of you feel about that?
I agree. Plus, it's just so much less complicated because if people book their own trips based on their own schedules, it just makes more sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I agree with that. Okay. So what is
so
that?
What you agreed on?
We agreed that any commissioner who's attending will have their fees paid, but will get themselves there.
So we'll pay for the exhibit hall package, 145, the hotel, and the per diem. Is that what you're saying?
No.
And you guys get yourself there.
Our entrance fee to the exhibit, whatever that might be. And I thought it might be nice, in my mind, you had mentioned if we go to a group, a Glencoe group dinner, that you would put that on the card, the Glencoe charge card, the Park District charge card, but we would be paying our transportation and our accommodation.
Yeah, I would just say, like, to make clean, like, per diem, because that's pretty standard. So you get the $85 a day for per diem, and then the exhibit hall. Does that sound good?
Right.
Okay.
Do you have your calculator?
I think that's wonderful.
I think that's,
very...
Yeah, very nice.
I was going to say...
Okay, so that was a motion, right?
I make a motion that... I'm not sure how to word it.
I would just say I make a motion to approve expending for... Three commissioners? Is that what it sounds like? Three,
I thought it was four.
Four? Four? Lisa, are you going?
Can I? Do we have
to? No, you don't have to decide now. So, okay, just so say four.
Up
to four commissioners, okay. Then, and the Park District will pay for exhibit hall, conference fees, and the daily $85 per diem, in addition to a dinner for all Park District staff and commissioners.
And then I would say all other expenses will be paid for by
all other expenses will be paid for by the commissioner.
The responsibility of the attendees.
Yep.
And you're saying that there is some beneficial rate for early registration?
Mm-hmm.
For
there is.
Accommodation.
For right now we have a block, or we don't have a block, we can add more to our reservation. So if you want us to get you in the same hotel with the conference rate, we can do that. And
the
then
Western,
the exhibit.
The business downtown.
Yeah, we're at the Western.
Not in Fort, it's not in Bourbon Street.
No, it's actually a little further away from. We took a cheaper one to get. We're a little further away. And then there is early bird registration for conference that we would get. You
okay,
know.
So when do you want to know for sure?
For you, I don't think we have a couple months for the early bird, don't we? August something.
August 1st. But
August 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send a.
Okay.
Great,
I will.
Great. Thanks.
Lisa, if the commissioners are paying for their airfare and their hotels, it would seem like, although I doubt I can go do work, I think it's just cleaner to say we're going to approve for any commissioner that wants to go.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I thought of that, yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
That seems like it's fiscally responsible for the district, but it allows the commissioners to attend to support the staff and
perfect.
Good.
Awesome. Okay. When we get the award.
See, I like your
answer.
Now, that's kind of a motion, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So I just need so moved a second.
Okay. Second.
Okay. We've had some discussion. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Warren.
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks.
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines.
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden.
Yes.
President Underdog.
Yes.
Did you get that motion?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Other business?
I'm very excited. Yeah, I want to go. That's
okay.
It's great.
Okay, a couple more things. We're almost there. I entertain a motion to approve a three-year contract with Nels Johnson Tree Experts based on the following hour labor rates, $2017, $60 per hour, 2018, $60 per hour, 2019, $65 per hour, and emergency, $75 per hour as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. Next item, I entertain a motion to approve the placement of the BAS system and electronic controllers from Applied Controls Incorporated, not to exceed $52,000 as presented.
Commissioner, Commissioner Boren?
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can have time for discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Discussion.
What are we voting on?
What are we?
Oh, we talked about this in the budgeting. It's our air
system?
No, air conditioning.
Oh.
So this is our computer-controlled building automation system.
Oh, okay.
So as we've discussed previously, the system that we have is 8 upgrades behind and is running on components that are made in Sweden. So when we have a component go down, it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get it. So where we're at now is bringing in a new software package and new computer control zone controls for the building. That this doesn't include the BAV boxes in every single room, but it's sorely needed. I mean, this is a keeping the lights on type purchase. It's keeping the room cool, keeping the room warm.
True.
So.
Okay.
Very
thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
First, if I recall, we discussed this
yes.
as part of the budget process.
Mm-hmm. And we've also, it's been in a number of staff reports, we've been working with the flight controls as well to just secure a time frame and, you know, set up the proper training for the software and such.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Byrne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Okay, is there any other business?
Yes, no other business.
Okay.
We do have to go into executive session.
We do need to go into executive session.
Fire up
so
the laptop and get GIS on there.
I should have done it or so for folks that.
Well, we're transitioning down the hall.
Okay, okay.
We have to.
I'm sorry, you have to go into this recommendation. The board will now enter the executive
session. Oh, okay, I have to read this?
Yes, please.
Okay. The board will now enter into a closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion pertaining to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act. The board will enter a closed session to discuss personnel mandated by Section 2.06 5 ILCS 120/2 C1. Wow.
Those
present during the executive session include commissioners, executive director, Director Shepherd, and partial attendance include Director Messenger, Director Miner, Director Wozniak, and Administrator Duncan.
Okay, go.
Okay. Return to open session. I entertain a motion to return to open session.
So
time is it?
Discussion. Roll call.
Commissioner Boren, Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Gaines,
yes.
Commissioner Ludden, President Underdonk.
Yes.
Who motioned, who second? Shut up over there.
Okay. Action on any items
what time is
discussed.
It?
We
no,
have any
no action. No.
Okay. Recommended motion. Okay, so do I.